Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition.
It's Rosie on the House.
Beautiful Arizona Saturday morning to you all. From where I'm sitting, I don't see a cloud in the sky.
It is dry, dry, dry. No humidity that I can feel this morning.
If you're sitting on the bleachers at the Payson Rodeo Grounds, particularly if you're on the south side of the bleachers, looking north, you get a beautiful, majestic view of the Mogollon Rim. This serves as the southern border of the Colorado Plateau, home of the Tonto Natural Forest, the fifth largest forest in the country at nearly 3 million acres, home to countless legends, lore, and unsolved mysteries. One such example was 44 years ago. On the night of November 5th, 1975, Deputy Sheriff Chuck Ellison responded to a call of six young men of a logging crew who claimed the seventh man of the crew, a 22-year-old Travis Walton, had been abducted by UFO. In the documentary, Sheriff Deputy talks about his initial encounter, and all he was really focusing on was sniffing for drugs and alcohol. Yeah, it was the 70s.
It is. Yeah.
You know, he's probably trying to be there and hold a professional presence and conduct the investigation, and all that's going on in the back of his mind is, dude, Travis is gone, man. Far out. No. Hey, not far out. They took him, man.
I was on Forest Road 300. I saw this light.
Five of six passed a polygraph lie test.
Oh, did he? Wow.
And a 1991 study showed that trees around the alleged location of the UFO had grown 36 times faster than they had the previous 80 years, according to the tree rings.
Is that reality or after the drugs and alcohol kicked?
According to the documentary, that's what they show. Now, we can't go back today, thanks to Rodeo Chediskai, burned it all up.
That's right.
So it's all hearsay now. They were getting ready to get charged with murder.
Wow.
But Travis showed up 5 days later in a phone booth in Heber. There's a movie about it, Fire in the Sky. Travis Walton is played by Dish from Lonesome Dove. You can also go to Travis Walton, the movie, for the or Travis-Walton for the documentary. Interesting. Interesting. So we don't know what happened to Travis during that 5 days he went missing, but we do know that a gold-plated disc with Sounds of Earth, including Johnny B. Good by Chuck Berry, Songs from China, Bach, Beethoven, and Greetings from 55 Languages, were strapped to a Voyager and sent into space. It's now over 10 billion miles away from Earth.
And I'm wondering if it's still playing.
That's when you can tell when something's not privately funded. Imagine going to your boss and saying, I'd like millions of dollars to send a record into outer space.
And unless your boss has a hold of those 70s paraphernalia going, yeah, man, here's my check. Interesting experiment, though.
And 50 years ago today, two Motorola transponders reached the moon with Neil Armstrong, Edwin Buzz Aldrin, and the third member of the crew?
Michael Collins.
We are go for Apollo 11.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. Roger, Tranquility, we copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
Man on the moon. Oh, boy.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
And there are plenty of documentaries that say that really never happened. Plenty of supporting evidence that there does to shine lunar light on the situation. We've got Dr. Sky joining us on the line. Good morning, sir.
And good morning, Romy. How are you? Happy 50th. This is an amazing story.
And I enjoyed listening to your radio broadcast driving in this morning about it. If you were not up at 3:30 this morning to hear Dr. Sky, share some of the the stuff we missed from the broadcast?
Well, we actually took some of the excerpts like you were just playing of the first man on the moon and what that sounded like. But to put that into perspective, Romy, what we wanted to do is show and kind of put it on the more personal side from some of the testimonies that we had, testimonials from the different astronauts. I've had the honor of speaking to so many of the moonwalkers, and it's kind of curious. Just last week, I talked to Charlie Duke, called him on his cell phone, and he's the man here in the background that says, hey, you got a bunch of guys about to turn blue here. He, of course, was one of the last men to go to the moon. But I just wanted to put it in perspective to talk about the great human achievement. And when we replay this that I have here that everybody's heard so many times. It's interesting, Romy. Neil Armstrong actually said that's one small step for a man. And the transcripts have actually proven that that was what he said in more of a humble way, because of all the Apollo moonwalkers, that's one astronaut that I never had an opportunity, though it came very close to actually having an interview with him. We were at the Reno Air Races a while ago in the big tent that they called where the VIPs were, and I was at the other end of the airbase and the air show shooting pictures when somebody said, hey, you better get down here quick. And by the time 2 miles of walking, he had magically taken off and left. But what an amazing story, the whole story of Apollo. You think back then, I was 13 years of age. We were watching it, Romy, on a black and white television that I had to hit the side because the television didn't work properly. And it was so amazing when we watched those images of two humans setting foot on the moon. Amazing stuff. They had such a short amount of time, some 2 hours and 31 minutes to collect. Get a little bit of this, some 47 pounds of moon rocks. And a little bit of trivia really quickly. The first thing that Neil Armstrong was asked to do was to actually bend over and grab a little bit of lunar soil, put it in his actual spacesuit, just in case, because nobody knew what the surface was like on the moon. Let's say it was like quicksand. They had to maybe then take off and escape. So he actually did get some prize in his hand, albeit it would have been a small amount of lunar material for such a long journey.
I will tell you, the hardest job in that of those three men would be Michael Collins, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, because absolutely.
Neil and Buzz, they're down there and they know, okay, if we can't get off the rock, this is the it for us. To be Michael Collins and have to fly away without them,
absolutely,
having that pressure. And he orbited the moon 30 times. Can you imagine?
Yes.
Like, first time okay, second time okay, 15, 24, 28. I mean,
yeah. That's a lot, Romy. And another fact that's quite amazing is when you go on to the far side of the moon, that's the technical term, not the dark side, you're out of radio communication. So here's a man, singular, no other person with him, and any of the other command module pilots, you're literally on the back end, the darkest of the dark space that you can imagine, no radio interference, no radio contact. You bet it takes a special person. And here's on a sad note, President Nixon actually had another script that if somehow the Apollo astronauts were not able to return back to the command module, and it might have almost happened because as the astronauts, Armstrong and Aldrin, were in the upper stage of the descent module, the lander, they inadvertently turned, I don't know who did it, but actually the breaker, that's the rocket motor button that you'd have, let's say, on the wall to set like a GFI, electrical socket to restart it, they actually broke the edge of the breaker. So this is a story that you don't hear too much. Buzz Aldrin actually used a felt-tip pen to push into that little socket. And can you imagine if it went click, 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 and no motor fire? That's very amazing. So thank God everything happened as we know it in history on this 50th amazing story.
And we posted a link, Jen found it, in the office yesterday to that speech that was set aside. You know, this is the disaster speech. This is the congratulatory speech. So we posted that link on our site. And it's a short read. But it's worth going.
Excuse me. Yes, you're right. And it's just so amazing that even though President Nixon, everything seemed fine, one of the greatest transmissions ever is, of course, the replay. And that's what we put back in the Dr. Sky show for July. The actual phone call that was made by the president. Again, you mentioned before Motorola radios. It's about a 1.3-second delay to go to the moon. It takes 1.3 seconds for the light to travel or radio waves to the moon. But that in itself is amazing. And on our Dr. Sky KTAR blog, we have something also awesome there, Romy, is that people can actually click on the link and watch Walter Cronkite in the entire evolution with Wally Schirra, one of the first Mercury astronauts. You can actually watch the whole 4 hours if you're interested as a space geek. And you can actually watch what happened during the time pre-launch. And guess what? It even has the great commercials of the day, which by today's standards seem like a long time ago.
I love that. I remember watching it when I was a kid. And yes. And to watch it in real time, if you have the time, like 4 hours, yes, it's phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, Gary. It's amazing stuff. So it's just amazing that we have this happen. But here's another quick story of President Nixon. He was actually involved in canceling. He wanted to actually cancel Apollo 16, 17, and we know the 17 was the last with Gene Cernan. And, of course, our very good friend Harrison Schmitt, the only geologist to go to the moon. They actually built the spacecraft hardware to go all the way up to the Apollo 20. And they would have had even more phenomenal landing zones. They were actually going to go to the Copernicus crater. So if people out there are wondering on Saturday, why would they go to a crater like that? Take a look on your moon maps. Copernicus is one of the most amazing craters. It would fill the entire valley of the sun. So one wall on the, let's say, the west side would be out in Buckeye, and the other wall would be all the way out in Apache Junction, about an 8,000-foot depth, bigger than the Grand Canyon, and a small mountain about maybe a mile high in the center. They were actually going to go there, and a southern crater called Tycho. So if you ever look at the full moon, and who hasn't, that thing that looks like a dot with the rays coming out of it, like the navel of an orange, that's the crater Tycho. That's the remnant of an asteroidal impact that happened maybe billions of years ago. But they simply canceled it. And now today, on a sad note, according to various polls, only 8%, get a load of that, guys, Gary and Romy, say that we should return to the moon. So NASA's trying to do it by 2024. You can only imagine what Musk and Bezos would probably try to do or are trying to do. So it's going to be an amazing time. And for those doubters out there, I got to get this in. Right here in Arizona, the great science team at ASU with the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, have you guys seen the pictures that that takes from orbit? It shows you the actual footprints and the tracks of the lunar rovers. Have you seen those images? They're amazing. You can see what's left on the moon. That's an amazing bit of technology. Right here from Arizona, the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter.
DrSky.com.